ABC Radio Australia.
Well, now the United Nations Human Rights Council has raised its concern over the risk to food supplies and marine life posed by Japan's controlled release of treated nuclear wastewater. And it's the first time for a UN body to comment on Japan's controversial plan to release 1.3 million metric tons of treated wastewater into the Pacific Ocean. The UN Human Rights Council, Council's warning was in response to a complaint filed by the Pacific Network on Globalisation. Joey Tawa is the coordinator for the Fiji-based civil society group, and he joins us this morning on the line from Suva. That is a Bula Joen. Welcome to the show.
Bula Vinaka, thank you for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Joey, look, with Peng, I know that you have campaigned long and hard on the Fukushima release of wastewater. So I'm wondering, what's your reaction to this communication from the United Nations Human Rights Council?
Fina, thank you very much. I think this is a landmark move for oceans justice in general and human rights or environmental justice. It formally puts the Japanese government on notice. And I think it calls for further actions that Japan should really, really halt its plans with this and properly consult, but also provide suitable science for us, especially in this part of the region, but also for us in the Pacific. It's a call on Pacific leaders. This is a communication that we see that we couldn't get traction in the region, thus we had to raise this at an international platform.
Yeah, before we get to some sort of response from Pacific leaders, I'm actually looking at a copy of the report, Joey, and the UN Human Rights Council. I know they've raised concerns, around this risk to food and health and even lack of transparency. So I'm wondering, are you aware whether the Japanese government have actually responded to this communication?
Yes, the Japanese government has been given time to respond, so we are still waiting on their response. I think it is will be made formalized very shortly. I'm not sure in the next few weeks, but Japan has given the right to respond. So we'd be interested in how they take on this formal communication from the UN, because these are some serious concerns raised by Pacific communities.
And I know that the UN, Special Rapporteur has expressed concern about the alleged persistent lack of effective and even meaningful engagement, of local communities. So for yourself, how has this alleged lack of consultation impacted our Pacific communities?
I think there is still need for wider consultations around the extent of harm, the science around it, how the project will continue to go for the next 30 to 40 years, and concerns around accumulated impacts. Also noting that, the region is still faced with legacy issues of nuclear testing, yeah? So having that on point, I think this is a really good opportunity for not only for Pacific civil societies, but for the region. When we are talking about a nuclear-free region, this is the opportunity for our leaders to really take Japan on account, just halt the process. And all we're asking for is some process of transparency. But the release of nuclear wastewater needs to stop immediately. And proper consultations need to be carried out from Japan's end.
And just for our listeners, though, Joey, if we backtrack a little bit, just in simple terms, though, are you able for our listeners to, what does the communication actually say?
In summary, the communication raises concerns raised by Pacific communities. As I highlighted earlier on, the standing issues faced by nuclear testing, but also potential harm to future generations, the right to clean environment, the right to a healthy ocean, the right to safe food, and the sustainability of our environment. This is some concerns that, based on the lack of science, the inconsistency in science that Japan has provided, that Pacific countries are quite concerned, rather Pacific peoples.
Thank you for that clarity, Joey. If you've just joined us, my guest this morning is Joey Tell, coordinator for the Fiji-based civil society group. Now, we're discussing Japan's controlled release of treated nuclear wastewater into the Pacific Ocean. What really are the impacts? Now, Joey, the release of wastewater we know started about 2 years ago and is going to continue for the next 28 years, right? Now that it's started, is there any way that it can actually be stopped? Can anything be done to remove the risk?
I think, you know, Japan gets away with this saying that it is doing this within its national jurisdiction. But we need to understand that the ocean is not just it's not terrestrial. It's a liquid continent. It's a liquid environment. And there are potential for transboundary harm. I think there is opportunity for Japan to hold this process and look at other alternatives. As you would have heard from one of the expert panelists that the Pacific Island Forum had commissioned 2 years ago, Professor Richman from Hawaii University, he alludes to other alternatives for, you know, land storage that Japan can consider. So there's other opportunities, according to science, and there's a scientist, well-established scientist, who being arguing that there are alternative options that Japan needs to exhaust before it considers disposing into the ocean.
You mentioned this earlier. Are you concerned then that Pacific governments have essentially backed off, you know, and they're no longer opposed to the wastewater release?
I mean, if I were to put it frankly, draw back 2 years ago, we had a number of leaders, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea. Fiji had a to-and-from stance, but we had Pacific leaders who had raised serious concerns. Then during the 2023 Palm Summit, that's the summit between Japan and the Pacific leaders, it's so surprising, or rather not surprising, to see that the region has gone mum on this. And civil society will continue to, you know, raise this issue regardless of the political stance or the diplomatic relations with Japan.
But Joey, you know, it seems like Peng has been fighting, you know, a bit of a lone battle around the situation. And now that you have the Human Rights Council expressing concern, then do you think this will finally maybe get the attention of Pacific governments?
We hope so. And I mean, Peng has been supported by over 50 civil societies within the Pacific and, you know, who have broader constituencies and who serve frontline communities and coastal marine communities. We're really hoping that this would trigger some action, some regional debate, and we hope there are some tangible actions from our leaders, especially when they meet in Solomon Islands this year for this year's Leaders Forum.